Welcome to the Bills Breakdown Podcast. I am Nate Schreiber, and as always, with my co-host, Alex Pollinger.
All right, we got a bit of a special edition of the Bills Breakdown Podcast for you guys today. So, I'm guessing pretty much everyone listening is a Bills fan, so we have a bit of NFL-wide preview show for you guys today. And we're going to start with the Bills schedule and kind of give you our perspectives on what we think the record's going to be. You know, Nate and I like to take things lighthearted so we can come back to this at the end of the year or maybe at the halfway point and laugh at ourselves and see how wrong we were. So, Nate, you're a bit lower on the Bills than I am. And, you know, when I put this prediction together, I thought maybe I'm a bit high.
Yeah, so I have the Bills winning four games this season, and I could see them winning maybe six at the most, but I just, like, that first part of the schedule is brutal. And the way the offensive line looked and has looked in the preseason and the quarterback situation, I just don't see them even, let alone being in many games, let alone winning many games this season.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you on the first four games there. I have them starting 0-4 with at the Ravens, home against the Chargers, at the Vikings, at the Packers. The NFL just really screwed them there with, you know, three tough road games and two basically going to the, you know, potentially Super Bowl contending teams with the Vikings and Packers. It just seems a little odd that they packed a lot of the Bills' home games into the back half of the season. But with that being said, I see them riding the ship a little bit towards the end of the season. I mean, other teams will be knocked down by injuries at that point, so maybe the offensive line can start to gel together a little bit in the second half, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I could totally see that, and the Bills, they're going to do what they do every year, and they're going to win a couple games they probably shouldn't win, and that's why I have them winning at the Texans in their sixth game of the season. They always steal a game on the road from a decent team, and like last year it was the Falcons. They went into Atlanta and kind of stole that game off that weird fumble return for a touchdown the Tre'Davious White had. I certainly see that happening again. I just don't know if the offense is good enough to score enough points to win the games when the defense is able to hold, even when the defense is able to hold teams to 20, 25 points. I just don't see the offense scoring enough.
Yeah, I think you're right there, Nate. It's definitely going to depend on what the defense can do. And the run defense hasn't looked great in the preseason. I know we can't take too much away from that, but if they do struggle to stop the run, it's going to be a repeat of that rough stretch last year where they gave up like over 100 points in the three game stretch there with the Chargers, Saints, and I can't remember the third game. But it's really going to be up to the offense to at least extend some drives and keep the defense off the field, but give them a rest.
Yeah, I think that's we'll kind of see the first couple of games if the offense is going to even potentially be able to do that. I would imagine Peterman's going to start the season at quarterback, and it will be very interesting to see what happens if, as we predict, the Bills start the season 0-4 or 0-5. Like, do they go to Allen? And then if they go to Allen, this whole prediction thing is kind of out the window, because in my head, they probably aren't going to Allen until at least after the bye week at the very earliest, and probably even later than that. And if he goes in earlier and he looks better than I necessarily expect him to look, they could steal a couple more games down the stretch when the schedule is admittedly much, much easier for a rookie quarterback.
Yeah, so what week is the bye week, Nate? I can't remember off the top of my head.
Oh, that's a good question. I'll tell you in a second.
I think it's between the Bears and the Jets game. I could be wrong.
It's late. It is week 11. I knew it was pretty late. So it's week 11. So they play 10 games before the bye, and I think that coming out of the bye into a home game is where I think the very latest the Bills will turn to Allen if they're going to turn to him this year.
Yeah, I do think they will turn to Allen, and actually, I think it's going to happen earlier. You have the Bills starting 0-5. I have them starting 0-4. I see the Titans at home in week 5 there is a good point to turn over the reins to Josh Allen if he's ready. You know what I mean? You don't want to just force it upon him, say, hey, go save our season. I think 0-4 is a good point where there's not much pressure. You don't expect the team to make the playoffs at that point. And it's kind of that Titans game is a home game wedged in between two away games before it and two away games after it. So, I don't know. Give the young guy a shot at home to get the first win of the season. And the Titans aren't a team that overly impresses me. They were a playoff team last year, but I don't know. I see that as a very winnable game, regardless of who the quarterback is. But I think that's a good spot for Josh Allen to get his first start.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think you want to start him for the first time in a home game, and probably not prime time. So if you're not going to start him against the Titans, then the next point I really see being a good spot would be, I guess, the Bears game there. That's a game we see them both winning as well. So that's really the point. Actually, after the Texans game, I think is where the really easy part of the schedule lies. Because, I mean, other than paying the Patriots twice, you're playing the Jaguars, who really, in my opinion, are going to have a brutally horrific offense this year. And there's not much else in the back half of the schedule that scares me necessarily.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Outside of two Patriots games, I mean, you've got the Dolphins in there twice, the Jets in there twice. I could see them winning 3 out of 4 against them, ideally. But yeah, like you said, that you have them much lower than I do. I have them beating the Dolphins twice and splitting with the Jets and then losing to the Pats both times. So basically going 500 in the division. And I have them scooping up wins against the Colts, Titans, Bears, and Lions. I think the Lions play pretty poorly outdoors to begin with, especially on the road in December at Buffalo.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. The Lions since Stafford has been on the team, pretty much relied on Stafford's arm to win them games. And if the Bills get a favorable weather matchup or favorable weather for that game, I can certainly see them winning it. I think that's the case really in those last three home games. The Bills get favorable weather, they should win, I think, or at least be competitive in all three. Actually, when's the last time the Bills actually lost to the Dolphins at home? It's been a while, right?
I actually think a couple years ago there was that overtime game where Tyrod threw for like 350 yards and they still lost because the defense, or Rex Ryan, put 10 defenders on the field.
Oh, yes, I remember that game. So, yeah, the Bills recently, though, I think, have been pretty good against the Dolphins. I think they've actually 2016 they lost to the Dolphins both times. But before that, last year they beat them twice, 2015 they beat them twice, 2013 they beat them twice, 2014 they split. So at least the last few years the Bills have kind of had their number.
Yeah, and I really don't think the Dolphins are a very good team. I mean, Tannehill is just kind of your run-of-the-mill average quarterback in the NFL. They improved their offensive line a bit. None of their receivers are really any good, in my opinion. They're just average. Devontae Parker really hasn't ever shook out and lived up to that first-round draft pick. And I think Kenyon Drake's very overrated. And that defense isn't anything to write home about as well.
Yeah, the AFC East is really going to be bad this year. Like, the Patriots could sleepwalk through half their games and still win the division by like 4 or 5. And I think that's honestly entirely possible. The Patriots winning 10 games and winning the division by 3, even maybe 4 games. Because I think the rest of the division is going to be that bad where they aren't going to have to do that much.
Yeah. So right now we can put this in the books to make fun of later. I have the Bills at 7-9. Nate, you've got them at 4-12, but you have their range of wins that you could see 3-6.
Yeah, I really don't see the Bills winning more than 6 games. I went through this like 5 or 6 times thinking about, okay, if the Bills play even perfectly in a bunch of these, they still probably can't win or are very unlikely to win. I could see them, I have them beating the Texans, the Bears, the Jets, and the Dolphins at home. I could see them winning that Dolphins game on the road, the Jets game on the road. I could also see them potentially beating the Ravens in week 1 and maybe the Colts on the road. So if that's 4 more wins And I don't. There's no way they're going to do all of those things. That's why I capped it at six. I think maybe two of those four they can steal, but they're not going to get all four of them.
Right. I think they overachieved last year. The metrics definitely show that. They're probably more 6 or 7 win team. I think they'll end up in that 6 or 7 win range just because the AFC is so poor compared to the NFC. And I don't know. I have the range at 6 to 9. I should probably tweak that to 5 to 8. I mean, I haven't seen anything that gives me any confidence in them. But, Nate, is it ludicrous to say that that first game against the Ravens is almost a must win if they want to be a playoff contending team?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think if you don't beat that, if you don't win that Ravens game, there's a really good chance you start 0-4. And how many 0-4 teams, let alone 1-3 teams, have ever made the playoffs? Not very many.
Yeah, I mean, there's the Chargers last year that were 0-4, ended up 9-7, and the Bills beat them with that three-way tiebreak with the Ravens, thanks to Andy Dalton. But, I mean, it's no secret the Chargers were a much better team than the Bills. I don't know. If they don't win that first game, I think they're starting 0-4. I mean, maybe they get lucky against the Chargers with a cross-country road trip for them in week two, but the Chargers are so much more talented than the Bills.
Yeah, I really, if they win any of those three games, weeks 2 through 4, I will be very, very, very surprised. And if they do win one of those games, I will at least be more optimistic. They will do what the Bills usually do and are like contenders in late October, early November, where they're, you know, one or two games outside the playoff hunt, and that's where they've been the last, you know, what, 3, 4, 5 years, where they're like kind of there, and then they kind of drop off in December. That the only way they do that this year is if they win one of those three games.
Yeah, I think that's right. We both see them at least playing better the back half of the schedule, and that requires to go at least 2 or 3 wins in those first 8 games. And if they don't do that, it's really difficult to string together that many wins, even against kind of some below average competition. All right, so that kind of gives us our rundown of our expectations of the Bills' record. Let's flow into the division winners and go around the NFL. I know, you know, most of our listeners are Bills fans, but I think it's good to, you know, give some insight on some other divisions. Nate and I are both big fantasy football guys, so I'd say we have some decent knowledge of other teams around the NFL, not as much as we do with the Bills. But without further ado, Nate, any surprises with your AFC East division winner prediction?
No, I mean, if the Patriots don't win, it'll be one of the most massive upsets in the history of the NFL, in my opinion. Like, if some other team steals that division, I will just be, unless Tom Brady like breaks his leg week one, then all bets are off. But if Tom Brady's playing football, the Patriots won the division.
If Tom Brady breaks his leg in the first game, the Patriots still won the division by 2 games with Brian Hoyer.
I still would be surprised if they didn't win the division without Tom Brady, but I would be much, much less surprised than if they don't win it with Tom Brady at quarterback. If they don't win Tom Brady at quarterback, Tom Brady is, you know, he's fallen off the ship, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, he's what, 42, going to be 43, is that right?
I think that's right. I mean, he's like the oldest quarterback to ever play at the level he's been playing at, and I just don't know how much longer that can continue unless he's taking some magical drug that we don't know.
Yeah,
about.
I mean, it defies all reason and logic that he hasn't declined at all. Like, come on, we've seen dozens and dozens and dozens of quarterbacks' career trajectories. Yeah, there's guys that play well in their late 30s, Peyton Manning, and then he just fell off the cliff. And, you know, there's the HGH speculation with Peyton Manning after the neck surgery. I mean, and the way Tom Brady reacts when he's asked about Alex Guerrero and the sketchy things with Julian Edelman, he acts like someone that's got something to hide. And I mean, I'm not going to accuse the guy of using some sort of PED, but it's definitely not the way you'd expect someone to react if they had nothing to hide.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree. Like, did you hear him in the interview on the Boston Sports Radio the other day where he just hung up?
That's the second time in the last week he's done that.
Yeah, so there's clearly more there than we know. But and just so Tom Brady has just turned 41 a few weeks ago, so he will be 41 for the entirety of this NFL season.
Yeah, so I would not be shocked at all if it comes out in a few years that Brady was taking some sort of pharmaceutical to help prolong his career. And I guess we can just leave it at that and move along so we don't beat this into the ground. So AFC North, Nate, I've got the Steelers. Looks like you do as well.
Yeah, I think the Steelers win that division. I mean, they have so much offensive firepower that they're pretty much just going to be able to outscore every team they play against this year. And I think the division, other than the Steelers, is going to be pretty poor. So I think the Steelers win the division. Even if they only win 9 games, they probably still win that division.
Yeah, I do think the Browns will certainly be improved and actually compete with the other 3 teams in the division and keep games close. I think the Bengals are going to be one of the worst teams in the league, just on paper. They have an awful offensive line. Andy Dalton isn't good. And the defense is average at best. So, yeah, I don't see anyone really challenging them unless the Ravens defense does something really special the entire season.
Yeah, and I mean, no team in that division is going to score a ton of points. I mean, the Bengals have probably even though the Browns have some decent offensive weapons, but I just don't see anyone being able to outscore the Steelers. And that's what the Steelers are going to do all season. They're just going to outscore teams. Even if they give up 30, they'll score 40. And that's kind of been their MO the last few years. It doesn't win them Super Bowls, but it wins them divisions, gets into the playoffs pretty much every year.
All right. So I think where things start to get interesting and where we diverge a bit here, Nate, is the AFC South. I see this as a wide-open division, and I think this is one where the division winner might only win 9 games, but they're just going to beat up on each other that all 4 of them are going to be in contention for the division lead going into the last couple weeks of the season. I have the Indianapolis Colts winning that division.
Yeah, so one thing that I noticed on your side is you have the Jaguars missing the playoffs entirely. Wow, I still have them. I have them as the 6th and the second and final wild card, the 6th seed, second and final wild card, and the Texans winning the division. I think the Texans, with J.J. Watt healthy and Deshaun Watson healthy, are going to win 9 or 10 games and win that division. But I do agree that pretty much every team in that division is going to be between 6 and 10 wins. And I think the Texans win 10 games, the Jaguars win 9, and that 9 is good enough to make the playoffs because the rest of the AFC is just not very good.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're in the same boat as last year where there's probably outside of the Patriots, the 4 or 5 best teams in the league are in the NFC. So you might even get a team sneaking in at 8-8. In the AFC in that 6th seed. And I do like the Texans to make the playoffs as that 6th seed. The reason I have the Colts winning the AFC South, I can't remember if it was one of the Football Outsider guys or something, but they gave a stat a couple weeks ago. The Colts were the worst defense on third down since 1990 last year. And if they were even marginally better, like say like 26th in the league instead of dead last by a long shot, they would have probably won 9 or 10 games and won the division. Or, well, they wouldn't have won the division, but they would have made the playoffs. And that was without Andrew Luck. I mean, if Andrew Luck can come back and be, you know, a shadow of what we expected him to be, and if that defense just improves slightly, even if they're, you know, poor instead of like the worst we've ever seen on third down, I can see the Colts winning that division, you know, maybe in a tiebreak over the Texans.
Yeah, let me say that I will not be surprised if any of those 4 teams wins the division. There will be no surprises to me in the AFC South. That's probably my least confident picks out of my division winners and playoff teams are the 2 AFC South teams. I do think that 2 AFC South teams will make the playoffs. I will make a hard prediction that 2 AFC South teams will make the playoffs. I think it will be the Texans and the Jaguars, but it could be any of them.
Yeah, I'll save my scorching hot take for the Jaguars near the end of the podcast here, and we can do our bold predictions, and then we can all laugh at me at the end of the season when it's wrong. So let's round out the AFC division winners. We both have the Chargers. Nate, you and I both really like Phillip Rivers. I think he's probably the most underrated quarterback in our lifetime.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I think Phillip Rivers is one of the all-time great quarterbacks, and he doesn't get the recognition he deserves for that. He, throughout his career, has been so good, and he's made some pretty bad offenses look halfway decent because with his play. And because he hasn't won anything, he doesn't get the recognition he necessarily deserves. Like, he's a much better quarterback than guys like Matt Ryan, who won the MVP, in my opinion. And that is something that you really don't hear a lot, but I think around the league, Rivers is very, very respected, and the guys realize how good he is.
Yeah, and that's one of those things where NFL fans and media kind of Neanderthals when it comes to evaluating, you know, players' greatness. If you're a quarterback and you don't have a ring, you can't be great. It's just, it's kind of asinine. Like, there's 22 players on a field, and the quarterback can only play, you know, 50% of the time. Phillip Rivers has been on some really bad teams and made them competitive. You know, he has some good weapons this year. Keenan Allen's healthy. If Mike Williams can even be a decent player, I think that's like a good fantasy sleeper for me, is Mike Williams. But he was a first-round pick a year ago, and he missed most of the season with, you know, the herniated disc issue. But I could see him being a monster. Then they have the two good running backs in Austin Ekeler and Melvin Gordon.
Yeah, that offense is going to be scary good this year. And I think there's a really good chance they come into Buffalo and drop like 40 on the Bills. Between that and the Packers, those two offenses to start the season, even the Vikings with Kirk Cousins, that the Bills could give up a ridiculous amount of points in that three-game stretch.
Yeah, and the Chargers' defense is much better than people give it credit for. I know Jason Verrett is now out for the season, but it just seems like the Chargers have been more snake-bitten by injuries than any team in the league the last few years. I'm not sure if that's true when we look at, you know, the amount of players put on IR, but it just feels like Rivers is constantly facing an uphill battle with that.
Yeah, you put him on any other good team, he wins so many more games. He's had a kind of carousel of coaches, skill players around him, his team dying to injury every year. He had Keenan Allen for like not even one full season yet since he's been in the NFL, because he just constantly gets hurt, and he still wins games.
Yeah, I actually really like Keenan Allen. He played all 16 last year. He looked really good. I think that was a guy that was just unfortunate, unlucky with those injuries. I mean, a lacerated kidney and a torn ACL are not what I would call injury prone. It's not a guy that has a lot of soft tissue injuries. So if he can stay healthy, I think he's going to work his way up into the conversation of, you know, top five wide receivers in the league. But we'll move on to the NFC side of things now to keep things moving along. I've got a surprise in the NFC East with the winner. I think the New York Giants are going to come back and win this division.
So I do agree the Giants are going to be vastly improved this year. However, with the Eagles in that division, I just can't see the Giants winning it. I do agree they're going to be much better than they were last year. I think that the Eagles are just too good. And especially once they get Wentz back, whether that's week one or even week four, that I don't see any team being able to beat them enough times in the division, any of those teams in the NFC East, enough times to win the division title.
Yeah, I expect a bit of a regression for the Eagles' offense. I don't think they'll be nearly as good as they were last year. They have a great offensive line, which I think makes it easier for Carson Wentz. But a lot of those skill guys are banged up to start the season. Alshon Jeffrey, you know, their stable of running backs tends to get into a lot of bad injury situations. The Giants won 11 games 2 years ago with a worse roster overall. Like, they improved that offensive line a lot in the offseason, and the addition of Saquon Barkley, I think, finally gives them a run game they haven't had since Tiki Barber. So that's just a team that I like to win, or 10 or 11 games probably.
Yeah, that's one thing. That the NFC in general is just kind of stacked, and 10 or 11 wins probably gets you the four seed in the NFC, which is crazy to think about, because loading 11 games in the AFC would win you the division title in most of those divisions probably. And in the NFC, you win 11 games and you win your division, you're probably the four seed. You win 10 games, probably a wild card.
Yeah, he might not even get in.
Yeah, it's crazy the disparity in talent between the two conferences. Last year and again this year, just up and down from the top all the way to the bottom.
Yeah, and the Giants will have the benefit of playing, the other NFC teams that finished last in their divisions last year, which I think is going to help them compared to a team like the Eagles that has to play the division winner.
Yeah, that is a good point, too. The Giants will have much easier – they'll have three much easier games than the Eagles will have, and that will certainly help them in their chances of rebounding from their really historically bad year last year for an Eli Manning-led team.
Yeah, so, Nate, when we think of, biggest improvements and win-loss, are the Giants that team for you this year, or is it another team?
I think it's certainly the Giants. I don't think any of the other teams that picked in the top of the draft are in the position the Giants are, where they have a quarterback who is a franchise quarterback. Now, think what you want about Eli Manning, but he's a franchise quarterback in the NFL. He's won a couple Super Bowls, and he does enough to win football games. And with him, plus the talent they had in the draft and the coaching staff change, I think that is enough for them to be the most improved team in football this year. It's not necessarily enough for them to make the playoffs, but to be the most improved team in football, absolutely.
Yeah, I think they were 3-13, so if they go 10-6, like I think they will, that's a 7-win improvement. The only team that I can see rivaling that is Cleveland, because, when you start from zero, it's not hard to get better. So, I mean, I could see Cleveland winning 6, maybe 7 games. The AFC is wide open, and they play the worst team in each division, so you never know.
Yeah, it's definitely between Cleveland and the Giants. That's a good point. Cleveland wins 6 games. They're 6-10, but they're still 6 games better than they were last year, so you can't really, they can't get any worse, and they'll certainly win a few games this year. They're not going to go winless again, so I do think it's between the Browns and the Giants as the two most improved teams. The Giants clearly have way more potential. Even if both teams improve 6 games, the Giants, that gives them 9 wins. That makes them playoff contenders potentially, and the Browns not. But, yeah, those are the two teams to watch in terms of improving from last year to this year.
All right, on to the division that I think is going to be the best in the NFL this year. That's the NFC North. I've got the Vikings winning, but I think it's neck and neck with them and the Packers. And I think the Vikings get in by some sort of tiebreak as the division winner.
Yeah, I agree with that. I have the Packers winning that division and being the number one seed in the NFC, and the Vikings being the top wild card team. But it is going to be a neck and neck race. Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback in football right now, maybe the best quarterback ever to play football, and I think he's going to have an absolutely monster year this year.
Yeah, I'm going to take a minute to just plug Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback of all time. I don't care how many rings he has; he's the best quarterback I've ever seen. The velocity he throws the ball with, some of the things he does on the rollouts, his athleticism is just incredible. The way he can throw across his body, across the field, into spaces, it's unreal. It's unlike anything I've ever seen, and I don't think the guy gets enough credit. And we do this thing where we measure success for quarterbacks by Super Bowl rings, and, I've got him, spoiler alert, I've got him adding one to his collection this year.
Yeah, I think saying he's the best quarterback of all time is not even close to a stretch. And you're certainly going to get arguments for other quarterbacks, and a lot of people are going to argue that it's the ring thing. And I completely agree with you. You cannot measure greatness by how many titles someone has, and that goes for any sport out there. It takes more than one player to win a title, and sometimes the best players don't win that many or any at all. I mean, we're just a quick example from another sport. Right now, we're witnessing probably the greatest, and at the very least, the second best player to ever play baseball is playing baseball right now. And has he won a World Series? No. Has he made the playoffs many times? No. But he's still the greatest or second greatest player to ever play baseball. And I know it's two different sports, but across sports, the best players don't always win titles.
Yeah, and especially with a sport like football, where it's a one-game playoff each week. There's not a series. It's just so much random chance. And sure, yeah, it doesn't hurt the argument to have Super Bowl rings. That's not what I'm saying. My argument is, to my eyes, he's the best quarterback I've ever seen, and I think the data, you know, definitely puts him well within that conversation as well. But we'll back off the sports radio GOAT debate and move along to the NFC South. Any surprise here, Nate?
So, no, I think there's going to be two really, really good teams in the NFC South. I know on our little sheet we're looking at, it says the Saints, but I don't know why I typed that there. I think the Falcons win that division. I think the Falcons are going to be the biggest surprise in football this year. I think they're going to be unbelievable, both on offense and defense, and they are going to win the Super Bowl this year.
All right. So I don't even have the Falcons in the playoffs. I think I probably have them as my, you know, 7th seed getting knocked out by some sort of tiebreaker. I can definitely see it, though, Nate. I mean, Dan Quinn was a great defensive coordinator for Seattle. He's been building that defense up. There are a lot of really good players on that defense with Grady Jarrett. I'm blanking on the middle linebacker's name. Deion Jones, is that his name?
Yes.
Deion Jones, Keanu Neal, Desmond Trufant, who I think is quietly a top 5 corner in the league. There's just so much talent all over that defense, all over that offense. I can see it. It's just the NFC's tough, and I think the Saints are a really, really good team, and their defense is also better than people give them credit for. So I have the Saints winning that one, and I have the Falcons out of the playoffs just because of how tough the NFC is.
Yeah, the NFC is going to be that division is going to be an absolute battle. I mean, there are three teams that could potentially win 10 or 11 games in that division, and any of them could potentially make the playoffs. I think the Falcons and the Saints are going to make it over the Panthers, but if Christian McCaffrey builds on his rookie year as much as I think he's going to, the Panthers are going to be just as much of a contender as those two teams.
Yeah, and it's a good division. It's a tough division, and they're definitely going to beat up on each other a little bit, I think, which is going to hurt whoever the second or third team is in that division trying to get a wild card. So we'll move on to the NFC West, the final division. I think this is the worst division in the NFL other than the AFC East.
Yeah, I would agree with that completely. I think one team in this division finishes with a winning record, and that is the St. Louis Rams, who are going to win that division. They might only win 9 games, but they're going to win that division. That division is just not going to be very good this year. The Seahawks could be really bad, way worse than we've ever seen them since Russell Wilson. The Cardinals are kind of in a similar, but I mean, yes, the Cardinals got David Johnson back, but I don't think that's necessarily enough, even if Sam Bradford plays well to make the playoffs in the NFC. That division is going to struggle. And same thing with the 49ers. I think Garoppolo is going to kind of come back to earth a little bit this year, and I don't think they're going to win more than 6 games.
Yeah, I think the hype is overblown on the 49ers. I think Garoppolo had, 7 touchdowns and 5 interceptions in 6 games last year. And I just thought his quote-unquote success was a little overblown. When you look at the numbers, I mean, he threw for a lot of yards with a pretty putrid surrounding cast that didn't really get a whole lot better. So I do think the 49ers are overrated. The Cardinals are going to struggle. I think they lack a lot of talent on their roster outside of David Johnson and Larry Fitzgerald. Their defense has a couple good players, but I can't see them winning more than 6 games or so. And then Seattle, their offensive line is so bad still. And we've saw the old Legion of Boom secondary kind of blow up into pieces, and they were aging anyways. I don't think that defense is going to be any good. And I have a bit of a surprise for a bold prediction later on Seattle. But yes, I've got, I almost called them St. Louis like you did, Nate. You've got me stuck on that now. The Los Angeles Rams. I've got them winning the NFC West. So let's just give a rundown of our seeding. And we'll start with the AFC. I see it kind of split between the Patriots and Chargers, but I got the Patriots at 1, Chargers at 2, Steelers at 3, Colts at 4, then Ravens and Texans sneaking in as the wild card teams.
And in the AFC, I have the Chargers at 1, the Patriots at 2, but like you said, it's going to be very close, I think, for those two teams. Then the Steelers at 3, the Texans at 4, then the Chiefs and the Jaguars making as wild cards.
All right, so we'll revisit those at the end of the season to, you know, gloat about how good we are at predicting these things or laugh at ourselves at how bad. So we'll go to the NFC. I've got the Saints as the 1 seed. I really like them this year. The Rams at 2, Vikings at 3, Giants at 4, the Packers at 5, and the Eagles at 6.
And so I have the Packers as the 1 seed in the NFC, the Falcons as the 2, the Eagles as the 3 seed, the Rams as the 4 seed, and then the Vikings and Saints making it as wild card teams.
All right, so we won't go week by week through the playoffs, but I like Aaron Rodgers to go on the road 3 straight games and get the Packers to the Super Bowl and win it over the Los Angeles Chargers.
Yeah, and so like I said before, I think the Falcons are going to be one of the biggest surprises in the NFL this year and are going to just have quite a year both offensively and defensively and win the Super Bowl over the same team as you, Alex, as you picked, Alex, the Los Angeles Chargers.
And this is kind of a little bit going with the heart as well as the head here with Packers, Chargers. I love Aaron Rodgers. I love Phillip Rivers. That would just be a tremendous game to watch, and I really hope that my prediction ends up coming true, that it's those two teams. I wouldn't even care who wins out of that.
Yeah, I really hope the Chargers make the Super Bowl. I would love to see Rivers at least get a chance to play for one. I think it would be such a fun game seeing him have his first shot at a ring. And so I really will be rooting hard for the Chargers this year outside of the Bills game week 2.
All right, so we'll move into who we expect to have big years basically by the awards that are handed out by the AP at the end of the year. Any surprises at MVP, Nate, here? I think we both have A-Rodge.
Yeah, I think Rodgers wins the MVP. I think he has a monster season. Kind of, there's some people who are doubting him and thinking he's kind of fallen off a little bit. I think he comes back and has an absolute monster year.
Aaron Rodgers falling off, what is he, 34?
Yeah, it's crazy. But because the Packers have struggled relatively the last couple seasons with him, I think that he is being the best quarterback in the league right now, and maybe the best ever. He's going to come back and light it up this season. That's what. So I think he wins MVP, and there's also a good chance that, like you said, Alex, the Packers make and win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, he's kept everyone in Green Bay employed the last 10 years. I think Mike McCarthy would absolutely not be there without Aaron Rodgers. And they've just put together a terrible roster around him, largely. And they've finally started improving the defense a bit. They've got a couple good players there. So, I don't know. I think Rodgers is going to have not quite the historic season like the Brady and Manning years where they threw for over 50 touchdowns, but I think he's going to come close to that.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's certainly going to lead the league in passing touchdowns and maybe lead the league in every quarterback category this year, and I think he runs away with the MVP.
All right, so offensive rookie of the year, I don't see him being anyone other than Saquon Barkley just because he's going to get the volume more so than any other running back or wide receiver. I don't see any rookie quarterback taking it either.
Yeah, I think that's my whole argument for picking him is he is going to have the volume. And the rookie of the year generally gets a ton of touches, and that's just kind of how it goes. They're either a running back that gets a ton of touches or, you know, maybe a quarterback that has a halfway decent year. And it's kind of how the rookie of the year works. And he's going to get the most touches of anyone in the rookie class. And because of that, he wins Rookie of the Year.
All right, so Defensive Rookie of the Year. I have the AP. I believe the AP gives out the Rookie of the Years. Right, Nate?
Yes.
I think they finally do the Bills some justice. And they should have given it to Trey White last year. It's going to be Tremaine Edmonds. Same argument for Barkley. I think he's just going to get more opportunities to make plays than most other defensive rookies. I know there's some good ones out there. Unless Minkah Fitzpatrick comes up with like 6 or 7 interceptions, I think it's going to be Tremaine Edmonds. He should be, you know, probably in the top 10 in the NFL in tackles, and he's probably going to force some turnovers as well.
So I do think Edmonds has a really good chance at winning this award. I went with Derwin James, and my argument behind that is he is going to be playing on the back end of a very impressive defense, and I think because of that, he's going to have a lot of chances to make plays, and he's going to be backstopping one of the better defenses in the NFL. I think that in the end helps him win the award over Tremaine Edmonds, with the Chargers being the best team in the AFC and having a rookie at the back end having a great season, where the Bills are probably going to win, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 games. And even if, unless Edmonds has an absolute like monster or historic type of rookie year, I think Derwin James wins it over him because of the success of his team.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. We've pointed out how team success largely gets attributed to individuals, so that's also a good bet considering Marshawn Lattimore got it last year, I think, right?
Yeah, and Marshawn Lattimore was on a better team than Tre'Davious White, even though I thought Tre'Davious White deserved that award. Clearly there are arguments both ways, and I think Lattimore did win because his team was better.
And he missed like 4 or 5 games too, which just kind of blew my mind that it wasn't Trey White.
Yeah, that's one of the awards I really disagree with. Last year, I really thought Trey White deserved the Rookie of the Year over Lattimore, but it's the name recognition that comes with playing on a winning team versus playing on a losing team that really can make the difference in these award races.
All right, so we've got the Comeback Player of the Year. We have two separate guys here, but I think there's only two guys probably in the discussion right now. I've got Andrew Luck. I mean, the guy hasn't played in a season and a half at least now, but I just see him having an above-average year, and it'll be better than pretty much anyone else that's in the conversation, with the exception of maybe your guy here, Nate.
Yeah, so I think David Johnson is the Comeback Player of the Year. I think he comes back this year and leads the NFL in all-purpose yards and has just another monster season. I do think, though, that Andrew Luck, because like we talked about before, the team success, if Andrew Luck makes the playoffs and David Johnson does not, I could certainly see Andrew Luck winning the award.
Yeah, especially because these are handed out near the end of the playoffs, right? If not after?
Yeah, so the regular season is concluded before any voting gets done, so the voters get to see wherever each team finishes in the playoff races.
All right, so I'm not sure how Offensive Player of the Year works. Can the MVP win that as well?
Yeah, the MVP can win that as well. It's a different set of voters, but yeah, the MVP certainly could win that. I think Antonio Brown is just going to have an absolute monster season and lead the NFL in receiving yards and receiving touchdowns, and I think he will be the Offensive Player of the Year.
I think that's a good bet, Nate. I've got Aaron Rodgers. I think he's going to have a borderline historical season, probably somewhere around above 40 touchdown passes. He's going to put up a ton of yards, and I think it's just going to be a great year for him. So we'll move on to the Defensive Player of the Year. I think I know where you're going with your argument here. Probably the same argument you made with Derwin James.
Yeah, it's a very similar argument. I think Joey Bosa wins Defensive Player of the Year. I think he has a huge season and leads the AFC in sacks and is the face of one of the best defenses in the NFL, and a team that will be Super Bowl contenders. And for that reason, I think he wins the Defensive Player of the Year. Now, Alex, you went with a different player, but someone who I also think is going to have a huge year after coming off a pretty successful rookie year just on a really, really bad team.
Yeah, so Myles Garrett, I think he missed a few games last year. If he plays all 16 games, I think he's going to put up 15 sacks or more. We saw how dominant he was against Deion Dawkins, and Deion Dawkins is an average to above average left tackle. Like we said, the Browns are going to be playing the worst team last year in each AFC division. And I think he's just going to get a lot of opportunities to rack up some sacks, because that defense was decent. The offense was so bad last year. The defense was put in a lot of bad situations. I don't know. I just see Garrett putting up some monster sack numbers. And if he, you know, comes close to that 20 sack mark or goes above it, I think that's enough to net him the Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, this is another award category where I could certainly see Garrett winning it. I do think that it's going to be one of these two guys, especially if they have both stay healthy. They're both due for just monster seasons, and they're both young players coming up in the league, and I think it's so good for the league to have so many good young players on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, it is great to see some fresh, you know, young pass rushers, and I think Bosa and Garrett will probably be the two leaders in sacks this year. So before we move into the three bold predictions we have, let's go to the just quick random questions that we've listed out here, Nate. Who's picking first next year in the 2019 draft?
So I think the Buffalo Bills will have the number one overall pick. I think they win. I think, as I said before, they're going to go 4-12. They're going to have the worst record in the league, and or even tie for the worst record in the league, and get the number one pick on tiebreakers. And I think that it's going to be Bills-Dolphins picking 1-2 in the draft next year.
All right. So the Bills fans are not going to like that one, Nate. I can definitely see how it happens. I agree. Whoever has the first pick is going to have 3 or 4 wins. It's not going to be like the last few years where it's been a team that won 0, 1, or 2 games. I don't see any teams that are that awful on paper that they're going to lose more than 13 games. But like you said, you have Bills-Dolphins at 1-2. I've got the Dolphins picking first. I think it's a terrible team. The AFC is bad, so I can see them winning 3 or 4 games. And I don't know, I'd like to see, I'm maybe thinking with the heart a little bit too much here. I see the Bills picking maybe up closer to 5th or 6th.
So let's move on to who leads the league in, let's go with rushing, receiving, and passing yards. So for me, I have Ezekiel Elliott leading the league in rushing yards, Antonio Brown in receiving yards, and Drew Brees in passing yards. Now, you might say, hey, Nate, you just said Aaron Rodgers will win MVP, and I still think he'll win MVP, but I think Drew Brees will throw for slightly more yards than him, but not have as good overall stats. I think Rodgers throws for way more touchdowns than Brees does in this season. Brees just always seems to put up monster yardage numbers, regardless of the type of season this team's having.
Yeah, I think Brees will regress toward his career average a bit. His numbers were down last year. They ran the ball so much. I don't see that happening as much. I think they go back to the roots. So I definitely see Brees being in the running for most passing yards. I've got Rodgers there. I've got Gurley leading the league in rushing because I think they're going to be protecting a lot of leads in the second half. That's a really good team. And like we said, that's going to be one of the worst divisions in football. So I think Gurley is going to get a lot of carries, you know, in the third quarter and rack up some yardage. Elliott's a good pick as well. And then I have David Johnson leading in all-purpose yards. I mean, the guy's just a machine. If he stays healthy and plays all 16 games, he's going to catch at least 50 balls probably. He's going to rush for over 1,000 yards. I see him having a big year.
Yeah, if I had to pick one lock for any of my picks, I would say it's David Johnson to lead in all-purpose yards because he catches so many passes out of the backfield that even if he runs for 300-400 yards less than the next closest running back, he could have more than make up for that in receiving yards.
Yeah, so I left out my leader in receiving yards. I think it's DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, they force-fed him the ball last year. Deshaun Watson only played 6 games, and Hopkins was still, you know, he was the top fantasy wide receiver by just a couple points over Brown. But if Watson plays the whole year, I see Hopkins just putting up monster numbers, like somewhere maybe in the 1,500 or 1,600-yard range.
Yeah, I can certainly see that. I think those are two guys that are just going to both have big seasons. And Hopkins, especially if Watson is healthy all season, should get the vast majority of targets in Houston. And Brown gets the vast majority of targets in Pittsburgh as well. So those two guys should be near the top or at the top of anyone's list for leading the league in catches and receiving yards.
All right, so passing touchdowns, no surprise here. It's going to be Aaron Rodgers. I think we both have.
Yeah, and like I said, I think Rodgers is going to throw for many more touchdowns than Drew Brees, even if Drew Brees does throw for more total yardage. Rodgers is so good in the red zone, and he makes so many throws that no other quarterback can make down in that in the tight spaces. And for that reason, I think he throws somewhere in the range of 40-45 touchdowns this season.
Yeah, that's about the range I'd probably put it at too, Nate. Unfortunately for daily fantasy players, I think the Rodgers Davante Adams stack is going to be quite expensive this year.
Yeah, that was the go-to last season in daily fantasy, and I agree. I just don't think it's going to even be possible to do most of the time.
All right, so what division will have the best combined win-loss record?
So I think it is the NFC South. I think the Falcons, the Saints, and Panthers all are going to win 10 or 11 games. One of them won't make the playoffs, but I think they all win 10 or 11 games, and the Buccaneers are going to be bad, but I still think they can win 5 or 6 and make up for the difference between some of the other divisions that are more top-heavy and have a couple really bad teams down at the bottom. I do think the NFC North is possible if the Bears – it's going to come down, I think, to the Bears and the Bucks. Which one of those teams is better?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I don't have the NFC South just because I think they're going to beat up on each other a lot. And the NFC is tough when they're playing outside of the division, so it could be a situation where you get, you know, a couple of them with 10 or 11 wins, and then the rest are really good teams that only win 7 or 8 games. I have the NFC North. This is in my bold predictions. I'll save that, but I think the Vikings, Packers, and the Bears are kind of a trendy surprise team. I agree. I think they're going to be much better this year. And, you know, if the Lions are the worst team in your division, that's a pretty good division.
Yeah, I think it's going to come down to those two divisions. That just shows how strong the NFC is going to be this season.
All right. And then no surprise here, based on what we said, our first pick, the teams that are in the running for it, I've got the AFC East as the worst division in win-loss terms.
Yeah, I mean, the AFC East could easily have three teams that win 4 or 5 games, or even worse. That's how bad the division could potentially be. Hopefully, it's not quite that bad, but I'm not super hopeful.
Yeah, I think we're going to see that division win less than 30 games combined.
Yeah, I think 30 is a good. 30 might even be high on the high end because Patriots win 12. That's still need 18 wins from those three teams. There's no way they all win 6
yeah.
games.
So. Probably more in the 25-26 range. So let's move on to bold predictions. I had the Jags missing the playoffs, and then I think that's kind of become a trendy thing for people to say, at least in the national media. So I've taken it one step further. This is kind of outrageous, and we can laugh at it probably at the end of the season, but I have the Jags finishing dead last in the AFC South. Not by much, though.
I think that I do think that's a bit of a stretch, but the offense, I mean, anytime Blake Bortles is your quarterback, there's a chance you don't win many games because he just does really dumb things. And I could certainly see a scenario where the Jags finish in last because of Blake Bortles.
Yeah, I mean, Chris Sims did his list of, you know, the 70 quarterbacks that were better than Blake Bortles last year, and I don't think he's wrong. Blake Bortles is just awful. I expect that defense to regress towards the mean just a little bit because they weren't so great in run stoppage. I mean, they were very good, but they primarily relied on pass defense. And correct me if I'm wrong, I believe Aaron Colvin, their slot corner, is no longer on the Jags, right?
Correct.
And I think that's where they might get burned a little bit, especially playing T.Y. Hilton twice a year, DeAndre Hopkins and Will Fuller. I think they're going to get scorched by some of the wide receivers in their division unless they have Ramsey, you know, kind of follow those guys into the slot all over the field. You know, I could see the Jags finishing 8-8 and still finishing last in the division.
That's what makes that less of an outrageous prediction, because 8-8 could be last, and 8-8 for the Jaguars is not out of the question whatsoever.
All right, so what's your first one here, Nate?
So my first bold prediction is the 49ers will win 6 or fewer games. I think Garoppolo really comes back down to earth and is not necessarily the savior that a lot of national media thinks he is, especially after he came in and didn't lose last year. I think he had such an unbelievable, what was it, I think it was a 6-game stretch to end the season.
Yeah.
I just don't see that continuing. And I think even in such, even as bad of a division as he's in, I think the most games they win is 6.
Yeah, I definitely see that as a possibility. I mean, when Marquise Goodwin, former Buffalo Bill, is your top wide receiver, when he's like 5'9", 170 pounds or whatever he is, I just don't know how good you can be. And I don't think that defense is anything to write home about either.
So for my second bold prediction, I think the Atlanta Falcons are going to not only win the Super Bowl, but they are going to finish in the top 5 in total offense and total defense this season. I think the addition of Calvin Ridley on offense to complement Julio, along with the youth and the addition of Dontari Poe on the defense, that youth and athleticism that Falcons defense has is just ridiculous. And I see them being one of the best teams in the NFL all season long and capping that season off with a Super Bowl victory.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. Poe actually left for the Panthers this season. I didn't realize that. I just did a quick search on that.
That was my fault. Who am I thinking of?
Grady Jarrett is their other defensive tackle, but it's just ridiculously good, another young guy. But you definitely have good points there, Nate. There's a lot of talent on that defense with Deion Jones, Desmond Trufant, Keanu O'Neill. They still have Ricardo Allen?
Yeah, they lost Adrian Claiborne. He was the guy I knew they lost. I don't know why I forgot about Poe, but they have like Vic Beasley still is on the team. Brooks Reed. They added they added Deidre Sanat for the secondary, and nose tackle, and I think the line is going to be really, really good in Atlanta. I think Dan Quinn does such a good job with that as well.
Yeah, I definitely see those as possibilities of them finishing top 5 in both total offense and total defense. My second bold prediction is the NFC North will have three teams win 10 games, and one of them will have to miss the playoffs, I think.
Yeah, 10 wins in the NFC is not going to be enough to make the playoffs, or it's going to put you in a tiebreaker-type situation. The NFC North with three 10-win teams, I think it's less likely than the NFC South having three 10-win teams, but I can certainly see it. So you think the Bears or the Lions are going to win the third team winning 10 games?
I think the Bears will. It's a bit of a stretch. They might be more in the 8 or 9 win range, but I think the Lions might only win 6 or 7 games just because the rest of the division is going to be so good. And the Lions don't play that well on the road outdoors. I know that's kind of a silly thing to say, but I think the data backs that up. But I definitely have Vikings-Packers winning at least 10 or 11 games, and I think the Bears sneak in there with a 10th win. I think I have the Eagles edging them out in a tiebreaker for playoffs.
So for our last bold prediction, we both kind of had similar predictions with teams picking early in the draft. And for mine, I think 3/4 of the AFC East is going to pick in the top 8. It might even honestly be the top 5 of the draft next year. But I think the Bills, Dolphins, and Jets will all pick in the top 8 of the NFL draft next season. It's going to be a historically bad division.
Yeah, I definitely think that's possible, even if it comes true. Would I think that the Bills go 7-9? They could still be picking 8th with 7 wins.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why I think I could have even gone with top 5 to make it even more of a bold prediction, because you're right, one team winning 7, one of those three winning 7 games could still be a top 8 pick, and that's not as unrealistic, I guess, as all being in top 5, which probably require maximum of 6 wins each, which still, I think, is quite possible.
You want to double down on that, Nate, and make it top 5?
I will. We'll change that right now. When we revisit this, we'll say the Bills, Dolphins, and Jets will all pick in the top 5 in the 2019 NFL draft.
All right. So I went similar here, and I think both these things can be simultaneously true, your bold prediction and mine here. I have Denver, Dallas, and Seattle all picking in the top 8 of the 2019 draft.
So for me, I think that I think Seattle's the most likely of those three. Because like we talked about before, their offensive line is just so bad, and really all they have is Russell Wilson and Doug Baldwin. They don't really have a ton else, and the defense has just kind of fallen off since the Legion of Boom. But Dallas is an interesting one because Dallas is between their offensive line and Elliott and Prescott, who I think is a pretty good quarterback. They shouldn't be as bad, but watching them, so I watched a good amount. I know it's the preseason, but I watched a good amount of the Cardinals, Cowboys preseason game last weekend. And yes, it was the backup quarterback, but the Cowboys offense in general just looked horrific. And the special teams, just the turnovers. And if it's like that all season, then yeah, certainly.
Yeah, I don't think Dallas's defense is very good at all. And, you know, in a division where the Eagles are obviously really good, I think the Giants are going to be really good. The Redskins will be okay. I just think they're going to get beat up in that division. And who is Dak Prescott going to throw the ball to? Allen Hurns? The rookie Michael Gallup? I think they're going to be trailing a lot, so it's not even going to... Zeke Elliott's not even going to be able to, you know, get a ton of carries because they're going to be chasing from behind. And I just don't think that offense is built for that. And, you know, Travis Frederick might not play at all this year, who's an all-pro center. That could really cause chaos in both the running and the passing game. So I could see Dallas finishing, you know, 4-12, 5-11, maybe 6-10. It's just, I can't see them winning more than that this year.
So after all of our predictions, when we come and revisit, we can revisit this, you know, maybe at the halfway point and then at the end of the season. I'm very curious to see how many of these actually come true. We'll see. But my prediction history is not too great.
I mean, it's not that great for anyone. You know, the national media guys will try to act like their predictions are so good and that they know everything. But, you know, unlike those guys, Nate and I know how to make fun of ourselves, and we're not arrogant gas bag blowhards. So we won't back down from these, but we'll tell you which ones we got wrong.
Absolutely. And if anyone wants to see the national media get stuff wrong, get called out on it, just go check out the Old Takes Exposed Twitter account, and you will get plenty of that.
Yeah. So, funny thing about Old Takes Exposed, Nate, you know, I was going through our tweets from draft night, and I said, or I think I had one the next day, your daily reminder that the Bills selected Josh Allen over Josh Rosen. I kind of want to CC Old Takes Exposed on that one and see how that turns out.
We'll have to revisit that probably like 3 years before, maybe even 2 years before we can see really how that played out. But that is I still am standing by that for now. But I do believe I do root for Josh Allen. I want him to be good, but I'm still standing by that for now.
Oh yeah, absolutely. But you know, we'll own it. So that brings us to an end of episode 22 of the Bills Breakdown podcast. I am your co-host Alex Pallinger.
And I am Nate Schreiber.
Subscribe, download, give us 5 stars wherever you get your podcasts so others can give it a listen, and subscribe if they want to. Feel free to share it with a friend. We'd love to keep growing the community. We hope you enjoyed this bit different edition of the podcast. You know, we gave you some Bills analysis, but kind of gave you some more league-wide stuff. So I think you'll hear from us next week with a preview pod of Bills Ravens.
Yeah, so we get to actually preview a regular season football game. We are back to regular season football.
Yeah, I am looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to when we can get into some All-22 film after that game and really nerd out on the analysis for you guys. So, as always, you can find us on Twitter at Bills_Breakdown, Facebook at Bills Breakdown. You can email us any feedback or segment ideas for when we get into the regular season at BillsBreakdownPodcast@gmail.com. And thanks for listening.